You are listening to the Point Harbor Church podcast. Experience a place where you can grow in your faith, connect with others, and discover the story God has for your life. For more resources, visit us online at pointharbor.com.
And that's the Christian life in a nutshell, just saying yes to Jesus. Amen. Saying yes to him as your Lord and Savior, saying yes to him when he says, hey, I want you to get baptized. That's a command, not a suggestion. Saying yes when he talks about our finances, and saying yes when he talks about our marriages. My wife, Robin, and I have been married almost 45 years. Two months. Yeah. And you're like, man, John, wow, that is rare air. And it is, sadly. How do you stay together so long? What's the secret? You both must be super compatible. Not even close. I'm hard-headed and she is somewhat opinionated. And about 10, 15 years ago, Miss Robin announced unceremoniously to me, you know what we really need badly in our marriage? And I'm like, a bigger TV? You know, maybe a bass boat? No, we need marriage counseling. And then she finished it with this, because I'm almost done. And I'm like, you know, I'm pastoring this church and teaching on marriage and stuff. And I'm like, you know, and that got my attention. All the other stuff she said before, you know, blah, 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 blah. But that got my attention. And so I said, all right, then you, okay, all right, fine. But, you know, we ain't, you know, going to get marriage counseling around here because I know people and they know me. And so you find it. I just said, you find who you want to counsel us, you know. And she did in Florida. So we went down to Florida, and I was not happy. I sat there, you know, like all you guys do. Yeah, you know, for the first day, the second day, and finally the third day. It was 5 days. The Holy Spirit started getting through to me. And he gave us, Ron is his name. He's been here. He helped a lot, gave us some tools, some marriage hacks. That we started using. It helped us, but it didn't really, really fix us until we got a hold of the best marriage counselor in America, really in the whole world, or rather he got a hold of us. And let me say definitively, this can save your marriage. This can save your marriage. I want you to be here every week. I want you to be inviting friends. I want you to be inviting family that maybe is going through it. You know, brothers, sisters, whatever. There are folks that are, and we're going to put it out on the sign out there, the rotating sign. There are folks that are, I mean, their marriage is about shot, and this is a moment maybe that they are okay, all right, I'll try anything. I might even try Jesus if he could fix it. So we're kicking off a 4-week series on marriage that I'm calling Jesus, Wonderful Marriage Counselor. And somebody says, oh, I see what you did there now. This bounces, springboards off the prophecy, and Isaiah, the people who walked in darkness, this is a prophecy about Jesus, walked in darkness, have seen a great light. On them light has shone. That's what you need in marriage, is the light shining in your heart about your spouse. And they rejoiced before you. Remember when you used to do that, married couples? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name shall be called what? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of what you want in your home, peace. Yeah. And so you're like, okay, John, but you know, Jesus, all right, but he went back to heaven. He's not here. You know, like a marriage counselor, you sit there across the desk and complain about your spouse, but he did not leave us alone. Jesus said when he told the apostles, you know, hey, I'm going to be going. I mean, he tried to explain the crucifixion. They were men, so they didn't get it. He says, you know, I'm going to be going. And they're finally getting it. He's going to leave us. What in the world? He says, I tell you the truth, it's for your good that I'm going away. This is talking about the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus, and then the ascension into heaven. Unless I go away, though, what's this word? Counselor. Say it louder. Counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. Like, who's the counselor? When he, the Spirit of truth, it's the Holy Spirit, is the counselor comes, he will guide you into how much truth? All truth. All truth. Can truth fix your marriage? Yes. That's what you need. See, the problem is, many of us have been living lies. We've been believing Satan's lies. We've been believing the lies of the people that maybe trained us, that, you know, our parents, they meant well, but they bought into the lies. There's like this legacy of lies about marriage or roles in marriage. We're going to look at all of that in this series about what God intends, how God wants marriage, Christian marriages to operate and find joy. We find that in the truth of God. As the Holy Spirit, the counselor, comes to guide us into all this truth. And you say, okay, John, how can I get this wonderful counselor to start downloading his counsel so he can fix my wife, John, because she's crazy? I want you to write this down somewhere if you're taking notes, and you ought to, because you retain more when you write more. I don't start with my spouse, I start with me. I don't start with my spouse, and that's either one of you, but it's her fault. Oh, okay, I'm sure she has fault, but so do you. Takes two to tango, and yeah, there might be more fault on, okay, I grant you that, more fault on one side than another. I mean, you know, I've always counseled, don't marry crazy, and don't hire anybody who's married to crazy. Some of you, I love you, you married crazy. And now you're living that crazy life. All right, so maybe it's more him than it is you. All right, okay. But this is going to work no matter who's more at fault. Trust me, you both are, because you're both sinners, right? You're both sinners. And you've been doing it wrong. You've been doing it wrong. What do you even mean? So write this down. My marriage fix is mainly a me fix. Now, some of you right now, you're getting your bristle up. You're like, oh, no, it's not. You're thinking of all the bad things that he's done, all the bad things that she's done, and you're saying, you know, you're trying to validate yourself, and no, I'm, you know, I know I got this little thing, and it's funny how we call our big things little things when we're looking at it. Fixing my marriage starts with fixing me. I'm doing me wrong. In this room, we're all doing me wrong. Say, I'm doing me wrong. Say it. I'm doing me wrong. That's how we start out, because we're fallen sinners. So today's message is the key message. It's the key message. I wanted to start out with it because everything else is more, a little bit more. I mean, there's another foundation too that I may bring to you, but everything else typically is how to do you, how to do the marriage. It's kind of, you know, it's good things. It's helps. It's tips. It's spiritual hacks. But this is the key. If you don't get this, people, you ain't going to get it. All the rest of the stuff is just going to be lost on you. All right, you might try work. But if you don't get this, your marriage is not going to be what it could be. Trust me. Today's message is the key message. It's the foundational message. And you miss this, you miss the marriage that God so deeply wants you to have. He does. Miss this, and you'll miss the marriage that you thought you were getting married for. Some of you right now, many of you right now, are just disappointed. I mean, Robin and I we're both leaders, we're both hardheads, and so we're both opinionated, and so we got into a fight on our wedding night on the way to the hotel. I was a high roller. She married somebody with a lot of money. I didn't have any reservations. I'm like, I'm getting married, yeah. I barely got a tux. And then I'm married. I'm like, oh, wow. So we're going to head to Williamsburg. So I guess we ought to. And this is before cell phones. So we just drove till the hotel said, yeah, we got, you know, vacancy. Ended up at the Holiday Inn. No, that sounds bad, doesn't it? The Holiday Inn there in Williamsburg. On the way, we got into a fight. What about? None of your business. I said something that she did not like. So, and I thought, what have I just done? What have I just done? Because, you know, my wife, I can talk about her, she's not here, she'll be in the second service. She can go from 0 to 60 in 1 second, right? I mean, the bad thing about us being outwired like we are is we push each other's buttons. We can push the good ones and we push the bad ones. I mean, push the bad one, whew. That's bad. So, you know, so get this. I turn in your Bibles to Romans 7. If you don't have a Bible, there is one in front of you, hopefully, somewhere, the blue Bible. It's on page 1045 in that Bible. Romans chapter 7. This is key. This is key. This is key. This is you. This is about us. This will fix your marriage, but it'll also fix your job issues. For those of you that say, well, I'm not married, I don't plan on getting married, or I was married, and I'll never make that mistake again. This will fix your parenting issues. This will fix your addiction. This is the foundational truth. Romans 7 and verse 14, you there? Say, I'm there. All right. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under what? Are you still? You're not there. Y'all lied to me. Thank you. Sold under sin, for I do not understand my own actions. Now get this. This is Paul. He's testifying about himself. I don't understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I what? Hate. I don't want to do this, man, but I keep doing it. Now jump to verse 18. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have a desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Feeling familiar? Verse 22. For I delight in the law of God, in my inner being. I'm like, yeah, man, God, I want to do this. But I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind. You underline war against the law of my mind and making me captive. So you're losing the war to the law of sin that dwells in my members. And then Paul cries out. This is Paul. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? But I want to do what I know I ought to do. I really do want to do it, but I keep screwing up. I want to be a godly husband to my wife, and then she says something, she pushes my button, and bam! And then we're at war again. I want to have an awesome marriage, John, but my idiot husband comes in and says something stupid because he's always saying stupid stuff or hurtful things. Talks about, hey, honey, you gonna go to the gym? And you're like, what are you saying? No, nothing, I'm not saying anything. He gets that panic look in his face. Oh, dear God. Or he won't listen to me. I just lose it. I don't want to say those hurtful things to him, but I can't help myself. Yep, because you're doing you wrong. You're doing you wrong. In your mind, you know how you should act. Ladies, don't you? Men, don't you know? Most of you. I mean, if you're coming in here and you got no clue about the Bible, okay, that we give you a pass. But even then, the Bible talks about a conscience that God gives us, that guides us, a general conscience. But so in our minds, we know good, bad, how to be good husband, how to be, you know, a bad husband. But in your flesh, your emotions, your language, your actions, you light the fuse, you throw the grenade into your relationship. But hey, take heart, wife, take heart, husband, you're not alone. Paul here is getting transparent, and he's talking about himself. Now look at verse number 25. Thanks be to God. Here's the answer. And realize, we're going to go into chapter 8. These letters were not written with any chapter divisions. That's man. Nothing wrong with it. It helps us find, you know, our place in the Bible. But this is flowing. From 7 to 8, it flows. Same context. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh, if I'm living in flesh, I serve the law of sin. Then he gives the solution. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jump to verse number 5. For those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, set their minds on the things of who? Spirit. The Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. John, why am I in divorce court? Why am I headed there? Because your marriage has died or is dying because of the mind set on the flesh. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and what? Peace. Verse number 11. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised, in other words, if you're a Christian, if you've trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit lives inside you. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead, that's the power he has, the resurrection power, will, that's a promise, you ought to underline that, also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. That's huge. That's if you're filled with, controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. And so today's message is titled, those of you that write down the title, My Marriage Fixed Right Equals Me Fixed Right. My marriage fixed right equals me fixed right. And Paul is saying that I need the Spirit of Jesus, not just as my counselor, yes, but also as my controller. That's the background. That's the background of what Paul is saying. That's Paul testifying, hey, man, before I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I wanted to do the right stuff. I just ended up always doing the junk that I didn't want to do because my mind was on the flesh, which is natural, not on the Spirit. Now, turn in your Bibles to Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. Go there. Go toward the end, just a few books. Romans, and then jump to Galatians chapter 5. That's page 1077 in the Blue Bible. And please hear me. Have ears to hear this. Some of you have gone to counseling multiple times, maybe to me and to others, and in multiple locations, and you got some tips, and you got some tools, Band-Aids. But Band-Aids won't help much when the wound is so deep and your marriage is bleeding out. Galatians 5 gives us the key passage. The passage I pray every morning. I pray this. I claim this in my life multiple times a day. Before I get up here to preach, every time I preach, I pray this verse in verse number 16 of Galatians chapter 5. He says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of what? The flesh." Underline will not. That's a promise. Talk about God's promises. This is a promise of God. If I'm walking by the Spirit, I will not sin. I will not say that thing that will blow her up, but it's going to be so fun to say it for about 10 seconds. Then I'm going to pay the rest of my life. I will not lust after that woman over there. I will not, you know, feed my addiction. I walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Verse 19, jump down to verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident. You ought to underline that. He's going to categorize two categories, the works of the flesh and then the fruit of the Spirit. The works of the flesh are evident. In other words, everybody can see them. And this is how you can tell if you're walking in the flesh or the Spirit. You just look at which list you're identifying with at the moment. And in some of your marriages, sadly, the first list is you. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warned you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But then, next list, the list you want to be living in, but the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of who?
Spirit.
Not you. Fruit of the Spirit. The other ones were the works of you. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. That's where we want to live. Many here in the workplace, on the job, at school, you're a winner. You're a winner. But when you come home, you're a loser. And Paul lays out the secrets to winning, to not being a spiritual loser, which bleeds over into our everyday life, our relational, vocational, parental, practical lives, our married life. And you might say, John, I'm not married, man. So, this marriage series, I don't know. I don't know if I should, go to another church or something where they're preaching on something more applicable to me. Let me tell you something. This message in itself, you need. It applies to every single one of us, married or not. But the other messages, you are going to influence somebody who is married, and you need to understand this thing of marriage, whether you ever get in it or not. This truth isn't just for marriage. It's the secret to not just surviving, but thriving in your hellhole job. It's the secret to getting along with your weird extended family. And we all have that wing of the family, don't we?
Yes.
Getting along with your pain in the butt brother or your sassy sister, your disapproving parents, We're applying it to marriage, but it works in every relationship, every scenario that life is going to throw at you. So I want you to track. Are you tracking? Say, I'm tracking. All right, main point, don't miss it right here in verse 16. But I say, walk by the, what? The Spirit. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not promise. If I'm walking in the Spirit, I will not be overcome by that addiction. I will not have a marriage that's headed toward divorce court. If I'm walking, and not just walking, one, you know, for 5 minutes, but walking, seeking to continually walk. You won't gratify the desires of the flesh. And that is just a mic drop moment. Now, I had a mic prop up here and somebody stole it. And I was going to do this. So just pretend like that happened. All right. Note to whoever stole it, give it back for the second service, please. Thank you. All right, so that whole verse, you ought to double underline that whole verse. Circle, walk by the Spirit in there. My marriage fixed right equals me fixed right. You go, John, it sounds like some preacher soundbite or some Baptist bumper sticker. It says the person getting their butt handed to them by this thing called life. Says the person self-medicating just to get a little taste of joy. Says the person Googling divorce attorneys. How's your way been working out so far? Want to start trying it God's way? I'm going to show you how. How do I not carry out the desires of my flesh? How do I do what I know I ought to do, but I end up not doing? How do I do right? How do I not do what I know I shouldn't do, but end up continually doing, John? He says it here. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. That's a promise. So he's saying, if I live by the Spirit, I won't be doing those things I shouldn't be doing, those things which I hate, those things I don't want to be doing. How many of you got in an argument with your spouse? You were losing, all right? So typically I'm talking about you men. You were losing the argument. So then you had this little nugget. Somebody handed you a bullet. You didn't realize he had a long tail and red horns. And you took that little statement and you went, bam! And it was awesome for about 5 seconds. And she's never forgotten it. And you, as you said it, you wish you could have just jumped out and grabbed it back. Did that thing that I think, I don't know if it works or not, when you send an email and then you realize, crap, I shouldn't have said that to my boss. You can retrieve it before he gets it. Well, that don't work when you blurt stuff out. Paul digs into the problem. My marriage fixed right equals me fixed right. 2 points. How many points?
Two
points. So track closely. I recognize, number one, the real war is in me. I've got to. But she, oh, hush. I'm sure she's got her issues because she's got a real war going on too. And you're just kind of seeing the evidence of it. The way she was raised, the stuff that she was taught, the things that happened to her that she didn't want to have happen to her. I'm not saying that she should back the truck up and dump it on you, but that's why it's coming your way, because she's got a war she's not winning either, and you've got a war that you're not winning either. Before you can help her with your war or her war, you got to win your war. You say, yeah, there's a war in my home. Those are battles. Those are battles. Those aren't the war. Your marital battles are simply the byproduct of the real war that's raging inside of you. And many of us are losers because we don't differentiate between the real war inside us and the skirmishes with our spouse that are just a byproduct of that. And Paul says, here's what's going on. The main war is inside of you. Walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. He continues, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. The desires of the Spirit against the flesh. These are opposed to each other. There's this war going on inside you. You want to do right, but you end up not doing right, and you end up doing wrong, and you know, you basically obey Satan. And then Satan, after he's tempted you, he comes to shame you. He accuses you to yourself after you did what he told you to do. He's evil. My marriage fixed right equals me fixed right. So first I recognize the real war is in me. That's the basic foundation. You got that? Say, I got it. Say, the real war is in me. All right, some of you said it and you don't believe it. You still think the real war is in her or him or your kids. Number two, so I recognize the real war is in me. Then number two, I fight my war with me by his power. I fight my war with me, by his power. He says in verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, John, what does it mean to be led by the Spirit? That sounds a little spooky. In John 16, Jesus said, when the counselor comes, the counselor, remember, is the Holy Spirit. When the counselor comes, who I will send to you from my Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about who? Me. Who's me? Huh? Jesus. The Spirit testifies about Jesus. The Spirit lifts up Jesus. The Bible says in another place, the Spirit does not speak about himself. All right? He likes a bit, you know, to be in the background. He's there. He's super important. But the Spirit is pushing us, lifting up Jesus. So the Spirit leads me to Jesus and enables me to walk with Jesus, worshiping Jesus, understanding Jesus' words, applying his word to my life, empowering me to live for Jesus. John, why do I have a problem? You know, I'm not as hepped on Jesus. I know I'm saved, man, but I'm just not as, because you're not filled with the Spirit. You're filled with the Spirit. I'm not saying you're going to get ecstatic. I'm not even saying you're going to raise your hands. Some of you ought to try it once in a while. I saw you at the football game. You did it there. You were all, rah, rah. You were jumping, you know, spilling drinks on the next people. Coming to church and you go, praise the Lord. Shelby says, isn't God good? And you're like, he's good. Because when you're filled with the Spirit kind of leaks out of you a little bit. All right? Some of you are really scared right now. Some of you guys are like, oh, dear Jesus. I don't know if it's worth being filled with the Spirit if I have to lift my hands in church. Well, then let your marriage go to hell. Paul goes to the heart of the issue, that thing that, you know, makes us losers, keeps us from being winners. He says, the works of the flesh are evident. They're obvious. And then he goes through them. All right, these are going to hurt some of you. All right, and I pray the Spirit of God zings you as you know, come across your word or words. He says they're obvious, they're evident. Everybody can see them. People look at you and go, yeah, that's her. Yeah, that's him. Yeah. Paul's laying out some stuff that every single one of us wrestles with, gets tempted by, sometimes falls into. These things cause marital battles. Why do I have problems in my marriage, John? Because you know what? You're a fallen sinner, maybe redeemed, but still a fallen sinner. And then you saw another fallen sinner at some, you know, hopefully at church, but many of you in a bar. And you say, woo, look at you. And they're like, woo, look at you. And then you got together. And then you got married. And then you had kids, some of you before you got married. And guess what they are? Little sinners. So now you got a whole house full of sinners running around. And you're wondering why you got problems. Because you don't have the Spirit leading and controlling. Now, when we do it with our own power, well-intentioned. Some of you in here, you want to serve God, but you're trying to do it outside the Spirit's power. And so then you are blowing things up. You're not doing what you want to do. The first three we deal with are sexual sins. Hold on to your seats. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality. This word is the Greek word porneia. I think I got the E and the I backwards, but you get the idea. Porneia. Sound familiar? Means basically fornication, general sexual sins, promiscuity. Think spring break at Cancun. But real Christians don't, John, I don't think, if you're really a Christian, you struggle with sexual sins, do you? What planet have you just arrived from? How about Christians and porn? Recent stats, 47% of families in the U.S., almost half, report that porn is a problem in their home and in their marriage. Half. That means if we are, you know, representative of the United States of America, one half has problems with porn. You're like, not my side. And a bunch of you dudes, you're going to get real quiet and start looking at your shoes because you have a bad porn habit / addiction. Why? Because you're not filled with the Spirit of God. 68% of church-going men view porn on a regular basis. Now, ladies, do me a favor. Don't make me hated by your husband. On the way home, do not say, Bill, Pastor John said 68%. Do you? Don't do that, ladies. All right, say, we won't. Come on. Oh, a bunch of you are like, I'm gonna. Some lady said, well, men are pigs. All right, got a stat for you. 87% of Christian women have watched porn.
Well, only one.
33% watch it at least monthly. Christian women, the times they are a-changing. Mighty quiet in here. Some marriage in here, marriages have been decimated by porn, decimated. Because you, dude, are losing that war. Why do I, you know, John, I don't want to, man, I'm ashamed. Every time I do that and what follows with it, I'm ashamed, I hate myself. That is what Paul is talking about right here. Because you're trying to live the Christian life in your power and all you get are the works of the flesh. And you will not have victory. You will not have victory, not consistent victory, until you say, Holy Spirit, I need you to fill me. I need to walk in you every day. And then you can say, when you see something that you shouldn't see, you can say, these are not my eyes, not my eyes. That's a mantra that I have taught myself. Not my eyes. Just did it yesterday. After we had our meeting here, Robin and I were invited to a concert, really cool concert, in a Jewish synagogue over in Norfolk. My brother-in-law is Jewish. And so we went there, and then, you know, halfway through the concert, this lady's singing, and they got a jazz band. It's really cool. This woman comes in. She's got the dress that was her little sister's. And then she comes, and she walks down the aisle. What she's doing, she's with an iPhone. And she gets close, and she just stands there. Everybody else is sitting down. She stands there, you know, doing recording the band. And then she turns around. And I saw what was coming at me. Stuff that her husband and her mama should only see. Because the Lord had blessed her in certain departments. And here she comes. And I'm like, not my eyes. I did. As soon as I said, here it comes, not my eyes. And Robin said afterwards, she said, Robin didn't see anything. Afterwards, she goes, did you see that lady with all those big boobs? They were coming at us. I said, baby, I saw them quick enough to say, not my eyes. She said, oh, thank you. I'm like, you're welcome, girl. But here's the bad thing. Bunch of you guys would have done this. Oh. I dropped my pen. John, weren't you tempted? Of course I was tempted. I'm a dude. But ladies, when you found your husband with porn or porn on his computer, did you say, oh, that's interesting. He's doing research. No. You were decimated. You were decimated. How about fornication? One of the meanings of pornea. Fornication, what is fornication, John? It's Christians, as here represented, who should know better, sleeping together before they get married. Oh, well, we just moved in together to save Jesus money. Quit lying. You moved in together because you wanted to get it on. Come on. At least be honest with your sin. Well, John, we move in together, but we're not doing anything. Stop that! Stop it. Somebody says, John, I try not to, but I keep slipping back. Dude, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be going out and having sex with random people that I'm not married to. I don't want to. I can't help it. No kidding. You're living in the power of the flesh. In the sexual sin area, you're a loser. Dude, that's harsh. No, it's biblical. That's what Paul is laying down here. The reason you keep failing is because you're fighting the war wrong. Back to our list of shame. He goes through, we don't have time to spend a lot on idolatry. Well, John, I don't have any idols. Well, that car that you drive and you wash so much and is really representative of your tithe that you don't bring to church? I don't know. Sorcery, Greek word pharmakia, from which we get pharmacy. Some of you are into some pharmaceuticals that are controlling your life. Enmity, anger, variance, strife. This is representative of some of your marriages, jealousy, fits of anger. Some of you this morning on the way to church. Rivalries, dissensions, divisions. You're like, man, I'm getting bummed out. I know, envy, drunkenness. Oh, I can't help it, John. I got to get drunk just to live with her. Orgies. You're like, the Bible has the word orgies. Yeah, it does right there. It says don't do it. And things like these, all of these things. Here's what Paul was hollering at us, at the Galatians and at us. Here's the secret that Paul discovered that he's revealing you, to you today. I'm doing me wrong. I'm fighting this war wrong. The main war is raging inside of me. I got to have God's conquest of me before I can have my peace with my spouse. He has to conquer me. Instead of me relying on my own strength, my flesh, which just makes me a loser, God producing spiritual growth, he calls it fruit in me, makes me a winner. He says, now he goes to the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of who?
Spirit.
The Spirit, not the fruit of you. You're cooperating. But the Spirit is the one that's doing it and growing it in you, and it starts eking out of you. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Love. That's that Greek word agape. That's love that's sacrificed. That's a sacrificial love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He's not talking about a lovey-dovey feeling. It's nice when the feeling is there. But no, typically it's not there. He's talking about love that acts often when you don't want to. Thursday, Robin and I have chitty-chat time in the morning. I've learned that my wife needs to communicate. I don't need to communicate. Not much. I get all my communication right here and I'm done. She needs to communicate, and I need to listen. So we have chitty-chat time, coffee in the morning. And we'll also do our calendars and what's coming up. She goes, hey, on our day off? I'm like, yeah. She goes, I have a little project. And I really try to walk in the Spirit, and because I thought I knew what was coming. And I said, oh, really? Yes, pleasantly and nicely as I could. What's that, baby? You in our bedroom? Yeah. I'd like to paint it. I had a painting business in college to get us through college. I have all the tools still. I hate to paint. Hate it. But my wife is an artist. So she loves color and ambiance. And she's a woman. And guys, what do women do all the time? Change their mind. That is the best insulated room in the house because it's got like 15 coats of paint on it. We've lived there almost 23 years. Now, I could say, and I did this back in my flesh days, well, girl, paint it yourself. Here's the tools. But I want to be loving. But when she said, paint it, I know my face, at least my face was fleshly. I'm like, But then I prayed, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And she goes, is that okay? And I'm like, sure, baby. That's okay. You know, paint is $47 a gallon, right? So we painted it. I painted it. She said, I'll help. I'm like, yeah, no, I got it. I didn't agree because I love painting. I hate painting. I did it because to do it was loving, something that I didn't want to do, which is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, sacrificial love. And then joy. What would you give to have joy with and in your spouse again, huh? I can honestly say this. I don't want to make this all about Robin and me, but it helps you to realize we've lived through this stuff.
Robin and I typically drive separately to church here because I'm here early to get ready for the services. And sometimes I'll be out in the foyer talking to one of you, and over your shoulder, I'll see her come in. And I still get that little ching-a-ling in my heart, that little joy buzz. There's my baby. I do. Last week, she came in by way of the kids' playground over there, and I was walking around here going toward the green room to get a snack. And I looked out the door, and here she comes up the sidewalk. So I opened the door. She's, you know, about 20 feet down, and I gave her that wolf whistle thing. Woo! Look at that girl! And other people were on the sidewalk. And I could tell in her face that wasn't wolf whistles in church. Not good. She came, as she walks by, I said, "Hey, baby." She goes, "Please don't ever do that again, because there's people around here that don't know I'm your wife, and they'll think you're whistling at random women." But deep inside, I know she liked it. If you surrender yourself to this wonderful marriage counselor, the Spirit of Jesus, here's some more fruit that'll grow in your marriage, and we gotta jump on this. Peace, wouldn't you? Don't you want peace in your relationship? Many of you don't have peace. You have fighting. Then he says patience and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. These are not natural. These are not natural. "John, my husband was raised by permissive parents and he doesn't have any of these." These come from the Spirit of God. It helps when the parents kind of reinforce it. This is supernatural. "Without God's Spirit in control of me, I'll produce the works of the flesh," which is many of you doing right now in your marriage. "With God's Spirit filling me, he'll produce the fruit of the Spirit, which can overcome," let me say it, "any marital problem." Infidelity? Yes. Porn addiction? Yes. Bad finances? Yes. Fact that we're getting old and chubby? Yes. Maybe he'll drive you to the gym. It's not the fruit of the good husband, not the fruit of the good wife. It's the fruit of the Spirit. My marriage fixed right equals me fixed right. First, I recognize the real war is not her, me, but it's me. Got to conquer myself by the Spirit of God. Then I fight my war with me, with his power. Again, verse 16, I say, "Walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Ephesians has it this way. Ephesians 5:17, "Therefore, don't be foolish. Understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk with wine, controlled with wine." That's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. It's a command. This is the key. This is the power. This is the victory. Well, John, you mentioned in counseling help, but didn't really fix you and Miss Robin. Did it ever get fixed? Yes, but it was painful. Marriage got better. And I thought, all right, I'm a dude. The marriage counselor that I'm sitting there, he's like, "Rate your marriage from 1 to 100. I'm like, "Shut up, you're stupid." But, you know, I said, "I don't know, maybe like 80, 75, maybe 85. He said, "Robin, how about you? 40. Then I thought, well, yeah, I mean, if you'd fix yourself, then it'd be 80. So then we got some tips and things and things that helped. It really helped. But still, we were wrestling with that. And I preached this stuff. But I wasn't consistently living it. I wasn't scheduling it. And we're driving to Tennessee, to the mountains, to do sermon preparation, sermon planning weekend. Or not weekend, week. Sermon planning week. And I don't even know what it was about. It was stupid. It wasn't even big, but somehow she ticked me off. And I ticked her off. I think she started it. But we were, oh my goodness. And I pulled into a rest stop. And I thought she was just gonna walk away and leave. And I was, you know, having thoughts of anger and, you know, oh, man, I was madder at her than I had been in a long, long time. And here I am on my way. Oh, and by the way, I just preached on the filling of the Holy Spirit on Sunday, the day before. But I'm cool. And then the Holy Spirit just seemed to say, I didn't hear any voices, but he's like, "How you doing? You full of the Spirit? You full of me?" "I'm full of something." And he convicted me. She stayed an extended amount of time in the ladies' restroom, probably, you know, praying about me. And he just broke my heart and said, so Robin came back and I said, honey, I've not been filled with the Spirit in this. This is not me walking in the Spirit. This is me walking in the flesh. I didn't say, you. And she's, you know, my wife takes a while to cool down. But then she said, yeah, me too. And we've made it a practice since then, to every day say, Lord, I pray for your Spirit's filling, Lord. And when we see something that we go on the list of the works of the flesh, like, whoa, what was that? And we check each other. Hey, whoa, what was that? Was that the works of the Spirit or the works of the flesh? On both sides. And our marriage has never been better. Never been better. It's not perfect, right? But it's never been better. How do I get filled with the Spirit? Real quick. I first recognize the real war is in me, then daily present every part. Oh, I wish I could spend time on this. I should have made this three messages. Daily present every part of my body to Jesus as an act of worship. As an act of worship. I present every day, Romans 12, write down Romans 12, 1 and 2. And I want you to go home and look at it. And I live this verse. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but this verse, it has always been a classic verse to me, but it's a verse I pray every day. I pray through it. Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, because of everything God's done for you, that you present then yourself to him as a living sacrifice, your whole body, soul, spirit, mind, strength, everything, all your possessions. You, those of you that can't, you know, I can't tithe, that's because you think you own you and you own your stuff. You don't realize you're bought with a price. And so if I'm bought with a price, then I do what my master says. And my master says to present myself a living sacrifice, holy, that means to God alone, and acceptable, best of, top shelf, first fruits, which is my reasonable service. The Greek word is logikein. It means the biggest no-brainer in the universe. If you were going to hell and Jesus died on the cross to save you from your sins and you trusted in him and he said, now you're bought with a price, you're mine, then the biggest no-brainer in the world, in the universe, is to worship him by giving him all of yourself. It'll change your life. How do I get filled with the Holy Spirit, John? You have to give yourself to the Spirit. So I pray, Lord, I give you myself, my stuff, and my society. My society means my society, my family, and all y'all, and all my friends. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I want you to look it up. And then daily, secondly, ask him for the filling of his Spirit. You ask him. Ask him. He says, you have not because you ask not. I tell you, ask and it'll be given to you. And he says, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who what? Ask him. So I say, Lord, I pray for the filling multiple times a day, especially when I realize, wow, that was kind of fleshly. Lord, please fill me with the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry. I want to be full of you and not full of me. And then daily eat what he's serving up. Eat what he's serving up. What do you mean? Get in his word. Write down Colossians 3 and Galatians 5. They're parallel passages. But the one talks about, here's the fruits of the Spirit. Here's what happens when you're full of the Spirit. The other one talks about you dwell, let the word of the Lord dwell in you richly. So it's when you're filled with the word and filled with the Spirit, they're very complementary. The Spirit uses the word of God. You see? So those of you that aren't into the word of God, you're not going to be very Spirit-filled because you don't have much of the word of God. The Spirit uses the word of God to convict you, to exhort you, to comfort you. Get in your Bibles. Get in your Bibles. Get in his word. Quit only consuming spiritual food on Sunday mornings and eating the world's Twinkies the rest of the time. Missionary, back in the early days of America, went out to the American Indians and won some of them to Christ, won an old chieftain to the Lord. And then he, you know, went around on his circuit, and then he comes back months later. He's sitting there by the fire with a chief, and he goes, how you doing on your new Christian walk, chief? Chief said, two dogs inside of me. He's like, what? Two dogs inside of me. Good dog, bad dog. They always fight. He's like, oh, it hits him. You're talking about the struggle between the flesh and the spirit? He says, which one wins? Chief says, whichever one I feed most. Whichever one you feed the most. Feed the flesh. You're going to have a fleshly marriage, you're going to blow up. Feed the Spirit, you're going to be filled with the Spirit, and God is going to start fixing your marriage, starting on you. And some of you won't do it. And there's nothing I can do. I wish I'd could just grab a hold of you and shake you, but I can't. So I just pray for you. Not just pray for you, I target you. Some of you by name, some of you marriages, reason for this series is what some of you are going through that nobody sitting around you knows about. And your marriage is headed for divorce court or just living it miserably for the kids when it could be amazing. Not perfect, but amazing. If you had the Spirit's fullness, if you sought the Spirit's fullness every day, amen? Pray with me. God, I pray that you would help us to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, to know how to do it, to seek your word. And God, I pray that you would confound Satan when your people start acting like your people and doing it your way and fighting the war that's inside us with us first by the filling of your Holy Spirit and the filling of your word. In Jesus' precious name, everybody said, amen. Real quick for you.